I'm gonna give him a phone call. I could do that. Ooh, I gotta check this one out. This one looks good.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to 38 at 38. My name is Aaron Bolton, and I have had, in my 38 years of life, I have had 38 jobs. And usually when I tell people that or they hear that, they go, the most polite I get is like, okay, wow. Or like, oh, well, you've had a lot of experience. I've had a lot of experience. But it's not, many times I've had three jobs at one time. And I started working when I was really, really young. And I want to define that real quick, what I mean by work or what I mean by a job. I'm defining a job as something that you do, that you have customers. Your customers aren't your parents, your customers aren't your family, your close friends, you know, only there you have customers who rely on you and for a elongated time, you know, where it's not just, oh, well, thank you for buying my muffins today. Have a nice day. Unless I was very successful selling muffins.
I mean, a muffin salesman.
Right, a muffin salesman. Hey, boy, do I got a muffin for you today?
That might just be a baker.
I think that's just a baker. No, there needs to be a guy who goes to every baker. Hey, are you having trouble getting your product to the right people? No.
But do you know the muffin man?
Do you know the muffin man? Isn't that what the muffin man? I think that's what the muffin man is. I'm pretty sure. I got a contract with the muffin
Drury Lane? Drury
Lane. Right. It's... You go four gumdrops. Four gumdrops down.
Yep.
Can't miss it. Okay. So, Callan, I'm so ridiculous. I've said me. I've talked about me. I've talked about the podcast. And you, my very, very first guest. And I'm very, very happy. Look, even producer Phil, he was like, yeah, waiting to send this through. Callan, he's the director of product management at Sophos. I've known Callan for years and years from another company, shall not be named, that we used to work together at. And I'm really excited. I really am excited about you being my first guest. There were some fun banter right before we recorded, just talking about, wow, we can't name the company not yet, but that's okay. Maybe, who knows?
Like maybe back in like 7 months.
Maybe a post-credit scene.
Ooh.
Okay. Awesome. So, Callan, I got to start off. I got to ask you, bud. Well, how long have you been at Sophos now?
10 months. So, you know, I'm working on catching you. I think when you had said the 38 jobs, I think it was actually 36 when we chatted the first time about it, but so you've done well continuing on that, strive to get 50 by 50. But you were the only person, and I felt actually a little bit, ashamed of the fact that you were the only person I've ever met that would, had more jobs than me. Like, cause I was in the high 20s when we were at the company that shall not be named, Voldemort. Yeah, so it was really neat to actually have someone that had been as successful or unsuccessful, whatever, however you want to put it.
Yeah. It's success. So it's both. So like both times, like, all right, so I know somebody might be watching this that's like, hey, I've heard about him conducting leadership development. Let me take a look. And then looks at this and like, whoa.
No, wait a minute.
First of all, 38 jobs. The experience, even if I tanked all of them and I'm a new great, like I've found myself in the past 5 years. You know, can you imagine all the great experience? But it wasn't like that. It was definitely not like that at all. There are good reasons. I don't know why I keep going. I think it's the newspaper. The newspaper like looks really old timey.
It's talky. It's talky.
Very talky. Extra. Yeah. Extra. All right. So, so you've had how many jobs? 20.
Well, now I'm actually at 30. So 30 at 38. So
that's right.
I'm only 10 months at Sophos. And actually, if you count interdepartmental changes, I'm at 36. But because remember, at that company, I had like six jobs.
That's
there.
Right.
So
that's right.
I don't count those. If I do count those, and I don't think you do either.
No.
It's got to be. Yeah. We can't count those because then we're.
I can't get triple digit.
That's a beautiful logo. Look, you don't want to change that logo.
Look, I can't be like 108 at 108.
Right. Yeah, that's just redonkulous. So, yeah, no. So in the last year, I've actually ended up with two more because I jumped to a startup. I was the longest unpaid employee of that startup, contractor, advisor, but not a paid advisor. And then I finally made the jump because we were going to raise or we were going to sell. We chose to sell. So I worked for there for 4 months and basically just took us through the acquisition.
Nice.
And tried to talk my way out of going with, but that was an interesting tale too. Nice. But then ended up at Sophos, enjoying it. It's a good company. It's a second Thoma Bravo company, which is kind of neat.
To say that, like, you can't even say, like, I ended up at Sophos. Like, that's a great company, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was it's rare for a startup to find someone that aligns from a vision and a mission. You know, normally when a founder sells, especially early stage, they're sacrificing a lot of their vision. And when you sacrifice your vision, I mean, founders aren't like normal people, right? Right. They care about the money. They're doing it. They're taking on incredible amounts of risk and sheer tear in order to hopefully have a life that many people will never experience. But normally when you sell out, you sell out. And right. What was cool about the Sophos opportunity is we got, you know, a good valuation, a great valuation, and we got to continue on that journey. And so, so we just end up at Sophos. It was a good match.
Very cool. Good. I didn't mean to indict you or anything there. I wasn't.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
I wasn't judging you. But yeah. So, all right. So you have come prepared today. Oh, and just to lay it all out for everyone to know, I guess this is like where this is episode one, right? So I gotta lay the rules out.
A little bit of rules.
As if I shouldn't be doing that for the rest of the episodes. So Callan is going to, Callan, you're going to tell us your best or your worst or your wildest or craziest, whatever job story that you have. You're going to do that. And then afterwards, after we banter, and after we talk about it, then you will reveal to me, the job that I've had that you want me to speak about. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I have no idea, but I'm excited.
I don't
either. Right. Like, it's going to be very, it's going to be very,
this is going to be extremely surprising
for everyone. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned after these messages.
After these.
Are they done yet?
And we're back. All right. So, I think we had a Sophos commercial. So, all right. So Callan, let's lay it on us. Lay it on. Oh, by the way, I want to say the reason that I've done this, the reason this idea came from, being at a dinner with a lot of executives, managers, a leadership development program that I was leading up, and it was graduation. And I wanted the executives to mingle in and talk with the managers who are graduating. And obviously what happened was it didn't really happen. You know, the executives kind of talking to the executive managers. No shade being thrown. It's just that's familiarity. Fine. So I asked one of the execs at my table. I said, hey, what's the worst job you've ever had? And he lit up. He was like, oh, man. And he told this story. And it was hilarious. And then he said, hey, what about you, to the other executive? And then he told his story. And this is an executive who would never light up. I've never seen this guy light up for anything. You know, now, whoo! And he was like, oh, I got to tell you. And he told, and then other people started coming in. The manager started telling the stories. And everyone started talking about it. People from other tables came over and joined in. So now I use this as like a networking tool. Like if I'm at a function where I don't know anyone, and I ask him, hey, just one, especially if I'm at a table and people aren't talking, go ahead and try this out there, guys. If you're at a table function, you don't know anyone there, just say, hey, hi, I'm Aaron. Just wondering, what's the worst job you've ever had? Worst job. Everyone has a worst job. Everyone loves talking about and hearing about, you know, the worst job of others. So if you want to share your worst job or your best job story, sometimes your best job story is your worst job, but let's go for it, Kellen.
Or am I allowed to say, hi, I'm Callan, or do I have to say, hi, I'm Aaron? Because that changes the dynamic of that icebreaker at the event. True.
So you can say, hi, I'm, and then look at their name tag.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll work. For a long time, and then get their name wrong.
What if we have those name tags that we had, that you and I had, that we got from that that other website that changes constantly?
That would be great.
And then you just change
scrolling,
it.
Scrolling. I found that the other day. The app is discontinued. You can't find that thing anywhere.
It is. But you can plug it in and still do it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Awesome. Yeah. We'll have to follow up on that. All right. Let's hear it, Callan.
All right. So, you know, it's funny. Like I was sat down and in over the course of the years, I've had some bad jobs. I've had some fun jobs, you know, like the mattress. I mean, everybody always loves me talking about being a mattress salesman, right? Sell mattresses to Hulk Hogan, sell to other local and normal celebrities, and including one where, and I was so close to this one, which was, there's a local celebrity that I delivered to his only could be described as probably mistress house. And you'd know who he is. He's a newscaster that used to be on Channel 10. But then I got to thinking, and there's one that's really apt for the times with everything that's going on with Ukraine and Russia and that. So my first job selling.
Hold on. So when that newscaster bought it from you, right? And he said, or did he buy it from you?
Yep.
And when
so the funny thing is yes, but like even like Hulk Hogan, right? I sold a bed to Hulk Hogan. I got him to lay down on a bed, which by the way, trying to get him comfortable enough to take off the fanny pack, like to get on a bed is that's where I learned honed the sales skills. The owner of the store at the time, anytime anything could be important, like would jump in and take it over, you know,
right,
was like, is this, you know, a smaller Italian guy jump in. You know, I got this. You can go now.
In my mind, yeah. I was like, he's gonna do an accent.
I am.
So you sold it to him, right? And when you're like, it's gonna be delivered to not my house. It might be a younger, pretty woman there. Did you just look at him and say, you know, I know who you are, right? Like,
there was, and it was funny because like Tampa's gone. You know, growing up a lot in the last like 4 years, but there are areas of Tampa that are still in the transitional phase, and you know, around those Nebraska, Florida areas, that this was 15, almost 20 years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were a little rough and tumble. So when the address was off of one of those,
gotcha.
You know, we were like, yeah. I don't think he lives there. I don't think he lives there.
No. Yeah, Understood. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to hit on that story.
No, all it's right, good.
So mattresses? Yeah. Okay, continue.
Yeah, so it wasn't mattresses. So I threw a bob and weave. I fainted on you. So the first job I ever did that was that led to one of our battles, one of our first battles interaction with each other in our cold call-a-thon, selling printed circuits in the gray market. We were essentially gangsters for obsolete electrical components. So anything on a printed circuit board. So like, I like that. You were like blurry and then you fixed it. Well, like autofocus.
Yeah, it should be autofocus, right? Autofocus should work. I shouldn't have to do a manual focus.
I mean, the reason that we have jobs, the industry that we won't talk about, exists.
We can say the industry.
Yeah.
Male break dancing.
It is true. The male and female, but because technology doesn't always work. So this is good. You and I are professionals because it did that.
That's right.
So, and because printed circuits fail. So what's really neat, and most people don't know about everything that goes into their computer and everything else. The Stinger missile was actually what made me think of this. We're like sending all these Stinger missiles and these Javelin missiles, and they're talking about it being 2 to 4 years before they can get production up because the components that go into the missile's guidance system and everything, you know, were obsoleted in 2003. And so they've been using stock to make the missiles. And so what ends up happening is there's this entire industry that's popped up because companies like Jabil, Sanmina, Flextronics, they buy the entirety of a production line of a printed circuit for years.
Okay, so like, let's say this is happening right now, but it's your old Italian boss who's the boss, and he has a run-in. When he runs in, what's he saying when he's seeing that you're out of parts, that you don't have the parts that you need?
Oh, at that point, he's probably like, we can make so much money. We make so much money here. The margins are ridiculous. Margins, they're almost mattress level. Like mattresses, that's mattresses are thousands of percentage. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But the only thing that's come close is that printed circuit, because what we'll do, and there's a company here in Tampa called America 2, they're a $2 billion processor of these parts. You get a Jabil, and Jabil wants to create a...
I'm trying to do that thing again. Sorry. I should stop moving. All right.
I like it. The left to right seems to work better than the back and
right?
forth. That's so you're boxed in and drawn out.
Exactly.
So, like a Sony contracts with a Jabil to make a run of televisions, right? And so they know that to sell the part or sell the TV at a price that people will buy it, they need this part to cost X. Well, that part doesn't cost $100, it costs $1,000. So Jabil needs a quarter of a million. So what Jabil does is they say, hey, we'll buy 10 million and give it to us for $100. They've got all this extra stock and they keep about double of that stock for later runs and failures and all that. But then what they do is they sell the other 9.5 million to this gray market who hold on to it for a rainy day. And then they find the Sony or whoever. That's where we would come in. We would buy that stock or we would have access to that stock. There's all these different like tickers of stock where people, some of them they're sharing it on the back end, you know, all this other stuff. And there's these different tickers where you go through and you basically connect the contract manufacturer or the manufacturer to the stock. And you either own the stock or even better, you figure out a way of finding someone else who owns the stock, negotiate, close the deal, and then go back to the other person and say, hey, I got this PO, but man, I got to be down. You told me it was going to be $15 and I got to be at like five. I already know that I'm making 500% on this, but you know,
right.
You go back and then you kind of like renegotiate with that one and sell it through. And so the thing about contract manufacturing though, is it's done mostly in places where it's cheap. There's cheap labor, right? We know China does a lot of contract manufacturing. Foxconn for the Apple stuff, right? Where people are jumping out of windows and stuff because their jobs suck. They probably could have used jumping more of that. The new iPhone coming off the line. So what you don't know though is that those contract manufacturers have their own contract manufacturers. And so what I did was I took a government contract order for a defense contractor, and it's for these guidance chips that exist out there. And I sold these guidance chips to a company, and that means that there are restricted nations. Restricted nations are places that those chips can't go because they're mil-spec chips, and you know you don't really want certain governments to get their hands on them because it would
Canada.
Bring them forward. Right, Canada especially. Canada's the bad one. Australia is the other one. Because they're already deadly enough. Like we throw down some really nice guidance chips to Australia. They put spiders on them.
Yeah. Like, or in Canada, they'll hold on to them in like sub-zero weather.
Yeah. What is it? 98% of all Canadians live like within like 20 miles of the border. It's like nowhere. So like they've got
because the other 2%
to hide those chips.
The other 2% don't care for their lives.
Not at all. And those, could you imagine if they got a hold of some guidance chips?
Then we'd never be able to get them back because we're not going over there.
We're not going there. And what if they send a moose?
That's true. Guiding a moose. No one would expect it. You know what? We'd be watching the Today Show and it'd be like, for some reason, we woke up this morning and all over America, there are moose. There's mooses. Mooses.
Moosels. It's moosels.
Maybe it's moosels. Mooseless.
Even worse, Canadian geese. What if those had guidance? The cobra chickens?
They do have guidance. That's a smart joke. They do have guidance. They have better guidance.
Probably, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the pigeons used to do torpedoes in World War II, right? We had the Skinner box. The Skinner box was guiding torpedoes and missiles in World War II. So, the Skinner box was was his whole thing to try and figure out. I mean, come on. Do we actually do any type of research to better humankind? No, it's to kill people better. So,
things happen. It's like, you know
wait, that could... We can use that.
From all this other stuff, can we make money? That's what it is.
If a pigeon can use that, the toddler can. We can put him to work.
We can put him to work. It's not like let's sell a toddler a toy. We can put him to work.
We can work.
And maybe that work is that, you know what?
That's in so a funny. Skinner box.
In a Skinner. Dude, what's funny is bringing it to today. That's still the mindset of toy companies. We're like, hey, we're going to put that kid to work on those toys, playing on those toys.
Make sure you can break them.
Make sure you can break them. And then another customer.
Exactly. And so this customer was a approved vendor for DoD, right? They're okay. Contract manufacturer. They use them. They make these. They use these guidance chips for certain things that I still don't think I'm allowed to talk about. And I don't want what happened next to happen again. So I'm not going to talk about it. But what ended up happening is I was watching the tracking on this thing. And it was supposed to go to a country that was okay. It did not go to a country that was okay. It went to a country called Belarus. And I don't know if you've heard of Belarus, but Belarus is this nation that lives right next door to another nation called Russia.
Yeah, and Belarus is so small.
Yeah, Belarus is so small. It's so, basically a satellite state for Russia.
Exactly.
And so there are contract manufacturers there because it's really cheap. They're not allowed to do DoD type work. So intercepted in between the country that it went to and Belarus, the State Department had caught that. And I was working for this company for about 4 months at that point. This was my biggest deal ever. You know, this was like a 60K margin deal. It's gigantic. It's going to lead to more stuff. I get tapped on the shoulder like, hey, there are some people at the door that want to talk to you. I'm like banging out 88, 90 calls a day. Like they never take you off the phone, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Playing pool, we had two pool tables. You got 15 minutes every 4 hours. We play pool, you know, eat some cottage cheese real quick.
So someone's at the door, knocking at the door to talk to you?
Uh-huh. And they were from the State Department. They wanted to know why my name was on a bill of lading for missile guidance chips or chips that could be used for missile guidance going to Belarus.
What?
And so I spent the next couple hours in the boardroom that's all glass, like all boardrooms are, with them questioning me, trying to figure out if I was in on this, if I knew this. And like, you know, I mean, like I'm in my early 20s or mid 20s at that point. You know, it's no college education.
You see that
classified ads behind you? It's the only job I ever got out of classified ads. I was making $25,000 a year. I thought I was rich.
Right,
like, you know, like plus commission. It was like $25,000 plus commission for me. I grew up in a car.
You know.
Like this, I made it. I make it. And now
when you say it so bluntly, I grew up in a car.
You know, and the State Department knows my name. I don't want the State Department to know my name because that means that I've been kidnapped by gorillas. It means I'm an enemy of the state, or like I'm running from something. I don't want any of these things.
You're in your mid 20s. You're making 25K plus commission, and you got to be saying after that day, you're like, more money, more problems.
Damn right.
More problems, man.
Oh man.
The State Department, you know, and the so everyone State just Department. Watching you like from here and there,
walking by. My boss,
and they know
it's out. Came in. Like, nope, I'm out. We had a guy that was in charge of compliance. He was there for like 2.5 minutes. He was the guy. He was there. So both of the founder's dads worked there. This guy used to sit in his office. Like, he was a compliance guy. He used to sit in his office, and he was one of the first people I ever saw watching inappropriate things at work. He just used to sit in the office doing that. So I'm sure he walked out of this meeting.
This was like 12, 13 years ago?
This was 2008, 2007.
Bruh.
Yep, he was a pioneer.
That's like 12 or 13 years ago.
I know, yeah. So he's a pioneer.
Old. No, we're old. We don't really. That's what I was getting at. All the way back then.
Back like, then. He had to be torrenting it. He had to be like, huzzah.
Huzzah. He was on Morpheus. That's nuts, man.
Yep. So, I don't even think Pirate Bay existed.
So what happened? I mean,
in the end, they just went through, said, you know, hey, we've got to confiscate them, all that stuff. Went back to the customer. They're like, we didn't know they were going to get shipped that way. And big investigation, which ended up, you know, amounting to essentially nothing. But, well, but you still, know, didn't, for didn't that feel time, like nothing at the time.
Mm-hmm, for that time in your life. That's crazy.
That was good.
That's good. Dude, that's a good story. I'm surprised of all the years I've known you, I've not heard that story. That's a good one. I'm sure there's more. Keep those in the back of your pocket for like a just next time we're chilling out. Hey, did I ever tell you when I almost murdered Madonna? What? No, you didn't. No, well, no, you can't, I mean, tell that story.
It was Carrie Strug, but...
Carrie Strug. Wait, no, that we got to get into that another time. Another time. Time's a wasting. All right. So, thank you for that story. You know what? What was it I saw? The movie, the show Only Murders in the Building. Have you seen that show on Hulu? Dude, it's all right. So it came out, I think, last year. It's Hulu's number one comedy. Like it's which is like okay, but how many? It's our number one comedy.
It's like in a specific category or across all of them, because they also play like Seinfeld.
Exactly.
They play reruns of Seinfeld.
Or their own original. Their own original. Which then I think I was like, how many have they had?
But, and is it an original, or is it when they like buy somebody else's original?
That's Netflix. And Netflix was that garbage. I hate that.
No, so does Hulu now.
Do they now?
Yeah.
Jerks. Get it together. Come on. So no, it was Only Murders in the Building. It's Steve Martin.
Oh,
Short,
yeah. I've seen the things for that. Is it good?
Okay. Dude, it's so good.
I mean,
good.
It's Steve Martin and Martin Short. I don't know why I have to ask.
But then, oh my goodness, what's her name? She just hosted SNL last weekend. I forgot her name.
Lead. Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez, there it is. She's in it too. She's great. She's great in all three of them. They're perfect, perfect combination. And just like the question would be like, well, you know, what would these two old people have anything to do with it? Yeah, that's part of the whole funny thing that they could keep bringing up. This has been a commercial for Hulu. So anyways, in Murders in the Building, there's
we got to get our sponsors on early.
Got to get our sponsorship, or at least ask. Maybe if they see it, it's like, well, we might as well throw them some money. That's how advertising works. So
exactly.
One of the characters tells a story and then is returned with like an obvious lie of, oh, nothing, everything's fine, nothing, no problem, blah, blah, blah. And this is the first time they're meeting. It's the blind date. And she says, whenever someone tells you a story, the listener is obligated to give back another story of equal or greater value. And I was like, I really like that idea. So I'm going to have to, I now must give back a story of equal or greater value. And that's you came pretty strong. You came with the State Department. So, but
see, what I don't like about this though is I got a whole list of like questions. How the hell do I know which one of these is equal or greater? So like, you're going to make me pick. So if it isn't equal or greater, you're just going to blame me.
So I'm going to mine was so much better. Aaron, you talked about juggling. I don't know how that's a job.
Only if you're a sad clown.
Only if you're a sad clown and you can write it off. Okay. So what is that quote? Or I don't know. Phil, do you throw that? Can we talk to you? I know this is recording, but I'm talking to you. I can talk to you whenever I want.
Producer, I mean, Howard Stern did it for forever.
That's right. So. I'll just pretend like producer Phil is actually in my home. I have a producer. He's over there. All right. So what's the quote? So the way we're laying it out is rather than having people just pick the job or pick the job position or the company that I was at, I've given them all quotes. I've put quotes of something that was said or something that relates to the job that I had. So they have to pick from these quotes. And I don't know what these quotes are. I don't know which quote you picked. So Callan, let's hit me with it. What's that quote?
You gave me some good ones to go from, and that's not the one.
Is that not the one?
that's not the one.
Oh, I'm like, okay.
That's amazing.
No.
But
I'm sorry.
We're in it now. Phil,
no.
We're in it
Phil,
now.
Phil's just saying that if I say anything, he's going to kill me, and that's fine.
We're in on it now. I'm okay with that.
You can pick another one. It's fine. You can pick the one that you want.
That's
okay.
Fate, man.
That's hilarious.
I'm not going against fate.
You don't want to go against fate?
I want to go against fate. Nope.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is that. I like this.
See, that takes the pressure right back off me.
Right. Exactly.
I said, now you can't.
So this one actually butts the beginning of this story. It butts right up the ending. No, you're fine. Just like how most jobs go from, you know, this is like at hours later, right? One job ends, another job, the beginning of this story now. So, my best friend, I know I've talked to you about him, Mario, my best friend Mario. Yeah, I don't know if you, have you met him?
Yeah, I believe we met. Yeah.
Okay. I think you've met him. So he and I, we're together in the Tampa Bay Mall. This is now where One Bucks Place, the Buccaneers training facility is. The Tampa Bay Mall, it was on its way out of being a mall. But
there was a mall there?
Yeah, Tampa Bay Mall.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, for years and years. I lived near the Tampa Bay Mall. Mario did not, but he was driving me back home. And he said, you know, let's stop by the mall and we'll put in some applications. Grab some applications, fill them out. So we go to the mall, walking around. And as we're walking towards this company, this store, we pass someone walking with a lady and we stop and we look at each other and Mario goes, hey, that guy looks famous, like familiar. And I turned back around and said, yeah, that's Derek Jeter. And he's like, that is Derek Jeter. And you know, we're 16 years old. So this is going back. We're 16 years old. This is 1999, I think. I'm pretty sure. So Derek Jeter, so we're in Tampa Bay Mall. We're like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. He goes, Jeter! Like screams, but there's no one in this mall because it's about to die anyways. Check this out, left to right. Boom. Magic. We're like, let's go find him. So we walk down, it's the second floor. We walk down, we can't find him. I come back around and I see him walk into, there's these stores that they used to have with books in them called bookstores. I'm not sure if people are familiar, but he walked into I've heard tell of these stores of book. So I walk in and he's at like the magazines with this lady and he's talking to her. And before it registers in my mind, it's not a good conversation. Like I'm already like, hey, and I've got something for him to sign. I'm like, oh, and it registered. Oh, he's like, I think it was his sister. That's what I don't know why that memory's in my mind, but I think it's his sister. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry, Mr. Jeter. I wonder if I can have your autograph. Yeah, not a problem, kid. It was like a Pepsi commercial. It was like, yeah, not a problem, kid. So he signs it, and I was like, hey, thank you. And right when I'm thanking him, Mario finds where we're at, walks right up, and he goes, Mr. Jeter, can I have your autograph? like pen and old receipt. Like, baby, like all her. But we didn't care. We're kids. We're excited, right?
So this would be worth $1 billion.
Right. So that's why I like telling this story, because that's the story. That's the time I got to meet Derek Jeter. The end. No, so we walked right across from that Telltale bookstore to Champ Sports. So that's where I got this job, Champ Sports in Tampa Bay Mall. As a matter of fact, I had this job for years and I went through, instead of changing jobs, I changed malls. I worked in three different malls with this one
job.
That's
pretty impressive.
Thank you. But the guy who hired me, I walked in. This dude was, okay, Michael Clark Duncan, right? Size, width, right? Only... Can you imagine Michael Clark Duncan like mad? I don't. I'm like, he's happy. I can imagine him mad because I'm creative and have a good memory or a good imagination. But he's always been, seemed like it when I've seen him on TV or, you know, the movies.
He was like the Kingpin, right? He played the Kingpin.
That's right. But he still wasn't like, oh, it was like, like more upset, frustrated, you know?
Yeah. This guy, is like furrowed brow.
This guy angry. Was like, just of my presence for some reason, you know, his name's Marvin and he was the manager, store manager. And I said, hey, I'm looking to wonder if I can get a job. Why don't you have a job now? It's like, well, I've
got to explain that. That's not a good way to start.
So I explained to him. He goes, all right, just go ahead and fill this out. I said, all right. And I filled it out right then and there. He's like, you're not even going to take it home? I was like, you're right here. I said, you're right. I was like, you're right here. I can... And I was so confused. It wasn't like I was trying to do a clap back. I was just like, So I got it. He called me up the next day. I got the job. Now, I did not go to school. Anyone who ever worked in the mall during their high school years knows that if you're working in the same neighborhood, the mall's in the same neighborhood where your school is, then you're going to have a good time. You know, there's going to be people you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not this guy. I was living in West Tampa and I was going to, this is very inside baseball, but all the way to like Armwood High School, like on the other side of Tampa, and then through like another couple towns, you know, and that's where I was going going to school. So I didn't know anyone at this mall at all. And it was on its way out. The neighborhood wasn't the best. Much better now. Some rough clientele. And Marvin, I think, is the only reason that we didn't get robbed so often. Because he knew the people that would do the robbings, and that's coming up in just a second. He knew them just by association or whatever, but he didn't know them like he hung with them, but he knew them.
He knew of them, right? Kind of yeah.
Big dude. So Marvin, all right. So the reason that we didn't get robbed from so much is because of Marvin. He knew them. There was some familiarity there, but he wasn't with them, right? Also, the people I worked with, they were the cool kids in their high school. And I wasn't the cool kid in my high school, but I was like the funny one in my high school. I left to right, boom. I wasn't into sports. Other way. There it is. I wasn't into sports.
You were into magic.
I was into waving at a camera. So I didn't really have any connections. There was two guys that worked there. All three of these people went to high school together. Two guys and one girl. And the girl was like mean to me for some reason. I don't know why, but she was just mean, and I tried to make jokes and nothing was happening. That's fine. No, that's how it was with all of them. That's fine. But it's fine. It's fine. I'm over it. I'm talking to, I'm seeing therapy now. But one day I'm married now. I'm fine. No, I was just talking about like, I was like, I don't know why people don't like me here. You know, they were talking about, I remember one conversation the guys were having, they were passing off. They were like, oh man, thanks for burning this for me. Like there was one of them bought like the new album on a CD and the other one had like a CD burner. Like that, and I remember the conversation was like, well, yeah, you want to get an RW because you rewrite, and it's got to be a plus. And it's like, I remember that old conversation.
Oh man, in the future, it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah, in the future, do you want to buy it now? Because in the future, it's going to be more expensive. Maybe girl,
for speakers, just for speakers.
Oh, that's inside. I love it. So one day, by the way, just to give you an idea of the size margin, Marvin, I'm not exaggerating. Routinely, we had a bench press there for sale, and routinely he would sack 300 pounds on it and pop up 10. Jeez. And pop up 10. That's and be like it was this, and plus mean, and like funny. And like, but like funny mean, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so it's like, man, all right. One day, is the one thing, because I knew he couldn't hit me. I knew my boss knew me. So he would
always. You assumed.
I assumed. Oh, well, don't get ahead. He would always go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Bath & Body Works. Bath & Body Works in the mall. And he'd always get like, we'd always have like the dopest stuff in the bathroom, like lotion and stuff. So I'd mess with him. I'm like, man, this is really cute, man. Thanks, man. I appreciate it, man. You're really worried about my hand softness, man. Shut up, Aaron. All right. Let's calm down. this group of guys came in and we noticed, I was like, this seems a little sketch. It was a little busy already. It was like a Friday, but it was like a mall that was on its way out, you know, so it wasn't that busy. And there's like five guys, and they came in and started like, and they were like, oh, that's right. Guy came in and he was like, is Marvin here? I was like, oh no, Marvin's not here. Marvin wasn't working that day. I don't know. I can't remember if he wasn't working or whatnot, but I know he wasn't there.
He's at Bed Bath and Body Works or
probably, but I hadn't seen him. And he said, okay. He's all right. And they left. Then Marvin showed up Marvin showed up. I guess that guy thought, and I don't know why, maybe I don't know if he just had a day off and he just showed up. But either way, Marvin was now there and he was in the back. And this was only about 10, 15 minutes later. So 10, 15 minutes time, I tell the guy, Marvin's not here. Within that 10, 15 minutes, Marvin comes back and they come in. All five of them come in and they start, they're like three go up onto the where the shoes are, and they're having me and two or three, and then three guys like looking at in the clothes and stuff. And they tell me, hey, I want this and this size. It's like six pair of shoes. I said, okay, well, how about I just start off with like bringing you two and bringing you two? And they were like, no. Okay. I go in the back. I start pulling. And Marvin's like, what are you doing? I'm like, yo, there's these dudes out here wanting all these shoes at one time. And like, there are other dudes. It looks kind of sketch. They're like walking around. And he's like, what? Like, he picked up on it like that. I didn't know what any of that was. So he picked up immediately. He came right out. He said, with one of the box shoes, said, and he walked right up into the guy's face. Apparently knew him. He was like, these are shoes you want? He's like, man, I'm just trying to, I'm trying some shoes? Okay. All right. Go ahead and try on the shoes. Try on the shoes. So I'm there, uncomfortable. This is the guy that I just told he wasn't Marvin there. Yeah, Marvin ain't there. And now, obviously, it looks like I snitched on you. It was like, this guy wants. So now I've got to help him with his shoe order. So that's fun. The Marvin then goes out into the crowd or into the rest of the area where the clothes are and whatnot, and starts talking. Two or three took off. They're like, nope.
Yeah, I'm out.
Walked up to one guy. He knew him. This was like, I would imagine, like, if something went down, this would not be the guy who would throw a punch. You know, like, he would just be like, no. And he started getting uppity with Marvin. Like, he was like, man, I don't know why. Like, started getting loud. And Marvin's like, you need to keep your voice down. I remember there were a couple customers there. He's like, you need to keep your voice down. And he said, man, what are you going to? Marvin headbutted this man.
Ooh.
Head.
That's the move to like just end any resistance.
That is it. You get headbutted. You have to realize if you're not thinking straight when you get headbutted, but you post headbutt, you got to think.
Oh yeah,
that was his opening move.
Yeah, especially if they clip the nose. Like,
oh man,
like you get that flash. You can't see anything.
Right.
And like, I assume.
I would imagine.
Super experienced of
headbutts a guy because a headbutts him. Guy goes down. Marvin picks him up with a headlock, pulls him around, picks him up, and drags him in between where like some clothes racks are. Like I can't see him, and I'm on a platform, and I see Marvin in the top of this shiny man, this man's shiny bald head, and he's like, blah 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 blah. I'm like, oh my goodness, my boss just headbutted some dude. The guy who's next to me, he goes to walk off with the shoes. I was like, hey, and he looks back at me. He goes, if you tell anyone, I'll kill you. Like I've never been, it was said so assuredly. Like
clear.
If you tell anyone, man, I looked at Marvin and I didn't say a thing. I didn't say a thing.
Yeah,
not worth my life. I'm not. Marvin, you're headbutting these people and you know them, okay? Are you? I'm not going to. That was, hey, Aaron, that's kind of weak. Yeah, but I'm here.
You're good. No, you know.
I'm alive.
So they lose a couple bucks in overhead? I mean, come on.
That's like that's chasing after
somebody. They would have to pay your mom a lot more if you had told them and you were dead. So you made the right move. That was the shrewd corporate decision.
Right. So. At that time, I'm living with my mom. It's West Tampa. My mom, we're moving. We're moving to Lakeland, which is like the next county over, right? We're moving to Lakeland. There's a mall in Lakeland. There's Lakeland Mall. There's a Champ Sports in Lakeland Mall. This is going to be an easy switch, right? Hey, Marvin. So listen, this and that happened. And either way, I'm moving with my mom and I'm moving to Lakeland. You're moving where? Why? Why are you moving? I thought I explained myself. Like I was like as if I had agency at that time where I can be like, oh, I'm staying home. No,
I'm staying here to work with you, Marvin.
Yeah. Marvin, you're going to go chill
I'm
out.
Moving in.
Yeah. Some of the people, you know, threatened my life, Marvin, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know what I got to go. I got to go. And there's, can I get a referral? Can I get transferred? Can you transfer? And you want me to transfer you? Oh, he gave me, and I was like, fine. Don't transfer me. I'll just go talk to the regular minded manager over there and show him that I worked here. And then that's it, I guess.
Yeah,
man, whatever. And he was like upset. He was like legitimately upset. Next day or two or something like that, when I was on the schedule, I came back in and he was like, hey, I just want to let you know that transfer's all set up and everything. I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks, Marvin. What a nice guy. So yeah, that's where my life was threatened. And I'm not, even after that, I mean, that and like maybe a week after, walking out into my car, in the dark parking lot by myself. I'm like, looking over my shoulder. I'm like,
you know, people's faces.
Yeah.
You know, that's
people said something. Maybe somebody said something. I didn't say anything. For like a week, I walked out there with a size 10 Jordans as an offer. No,
lay it on the altar.
No, but that job goes on. That's a story for another time. But in Lakeland, and then moving on to another mall in another town. I think that was
a good one. I think that was good happenstance. I mean, sure, we don't know, and we'll hear it another time. I'll listen to it when you give somebody else the quote that I had originally done. But I think that worked out well. I'll say equal.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah,
maybe better.
Like, State Department.
Incarceration or death. I mean, like, they're damn close.
No State Department was in mind.
I didn't end up at Gitmo.
Not back then.
I mean, like, I know I'm like pretty bald now, but back then I had long curly hair. I was darker than I am, and you know, the beard was bigger. So I mean, like, I could have ended up in Gitmo
easily.
I always got pulled out of line. We're like Northern Mediterranean, you know, North Africa or South Mediterranean, North African. Like,
see, you and I, we share something in common. We share the fact that we are, how did I put it? Ethnically vague.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
That's how you say ethnically vague. So yep. I can be anywhere from geographically. I've been asked if I'm anywhere from Greece in the Mediterranean to India, Greece to India, and anywhere in the Caribbean. It's funny, but no one's ever asked me, are you Nordic?
That's I have not gotten the Nordic one. That makes you feel sad.
Yeah, we'll never get Nordic. What do you usually get? You usually get a like someone's like, hey, are you blah blah blah?
Middle Eastern is the most. And then that follows with then it's like the Greek, Italian, Mediterranean beast, but Middle Eastern is normally it's always fun, like especially working some of those more sales clerk type jobs. They people come up and they just start talking to you in another language. I wish I had like the babblefish, because like I don't understand. I remember going into a Subway one time and the lady like got visibly frustrated because she thought that I was screwing with her, because she was so convinced that I understood the language and I was just forcing her to speak in English. And Amy's like, that woman hated you. She hated you by the time that was done. So that's
She's like, you forget where you come from?
That was basically it. Like, I used to get, you know, we've got tarpon here, and I would and
Greek.
My family's, you know, Maltese, and they used to treat me very, very nicely when they thought I was Greek. And then moment that I'd be like, yeah, no, we're Mediterranean, you know, we're like the Greeks, and da 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 da. I think the Greeks owned the Malta. I owned a Malta one time. It's like, no, you are not the good boy. You know, like, it's like, wow, that's an about face.
That's right. You told me about that before, the Malta. Yeah. Like, they did not like Malta.
I don't know if it was the Knights of Malta, whatever they did on their way over to the Crusades. I haven't looked into it that deeply.
You are not
me. I'm a representative. You are not the good boy.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was talking to a dignitary from someone from the state.
That's it. The State Department.
It all comes back together.
It all comes back together.
Callan, thank you so much for sharing your story, dude. That was so much fun. It really was. I got to ask the one question. Now I got to take it back to your story. Did you learn anything from that experience? Like, did you learn, like, not like that you're like, you can always anchor back. So like the anchor point, right? Is there something that's like, oh, well, yeah, I learned it from there. What would you learn?
Yeah, I'd say there were a couple of takeaways. You know, the first is don't F with the government, but I'm just kidding. Cause no, really it is, you know, there are certain roles that we take on that have greater risk and reward. And you can't be afraid and you can't think that you can control everything in it, right? I'm a sales rep on a phone, closing deals, making things go. Like I had no control once those parts left. I shipped them to a specific place that shows up at my door. I could have been upset. I could have been scared. And, you know, going through it, I just learned that like, I'm going to have to keep taking the risks. And it was just one more thing on the way that, you know, you said like, you know, more money, more problems. It's, you know, the risk is often commensurate with growth. You know, and so that's kind of that secondary takeaway. It's like I have to put the risk out there in order to grow. And so I think it was a good lesson to learn. And also I learned that I can hold my own in a room with some dignitaries. So, kind of a badge. I make it through.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I think about that. I don't know why, but often I think about if I was being interrogated, how would I do? I think I might have thought that today, like earlier, just like, how would I do if I was being interrogated? That's what I was thinking about today. And for some reason, the side thing, stupid thought. Here's an Aaron stupid thought. So, you know, like in the TV dramas, you know, you're interrogated, you're left there for like hours and hours.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right. And I think that that's true for like, I've seen
it can
somewhere.
Be. Yeah.
And then I always seem like they're like on the chair or like just, you know, if you know what's coming, like I would go curl up in the corner on the floor. Like
just huddle.
No, I'd take a nap.
Not in the face.
Sometimes
you're handcuffed or you go do that and you're non-compliant. They'll, you know.
If I'm sleeping, I'm non-compliant.
Yeah.
I wake up, I'm in a cell. What happened? Took a nap.
You napped yourself. You are ethnically vague. You do not have the right to that.
That's right. I napped right through my conviction. What happened? I napped myself into guilty. Awesome. Callan, now you have to ask me, hey, is there anything you learned from her? You got to ask me.
Yeah, so let's see. How do I put this?
Okay.
What enlightenment did you gather from having your life threatened?
Okay, so, all right, I do have two things then at this point, because I didn't think you were going to ask me about my life being threatened. But, so life being threatened, that... nothing is worth like, you know, nothing's worth like, $129 pair of shoes. What am I? Hey,
that is in 1990s money though.
Yeah.
So that's like $600 now.
At least $600. Right?
I think you're worth $600 though.
I don't think my life is, my life is less than $600. Right. So much more. I'm not going to allow bad things to happen. Well, isn't allowing something bad to happen just the same as you doing it? No.
It is not. It is no way.
And also, I was 16 years old. You know, was 16. I was a child. So what do I know? But the other thing, the thing that I really did learn that has gotten me into some trouble, but I think for the better is not to cower from authority. Like when someone's being authoritative, not authority, when someone's being authoritative, almost to a bullying. And I learned that not just from when I was leaving, you know, how Marvin's acting, but throughout the whole time, I worked for Marvin, like about 6-7 months. I worked for Champ Sports for a year and a half throughout high school, but 6-7 months, I mean, I found out he liked me. You know, he
upset when you left.
And he was, he put me through it. But I think it was more like a test. Like he was testing, I don't know. He was testing me. He was trying to, no, it was just him being him. But how it worked out was, you know, it worked out for me. You know, I learned that, you know, some people might cower like, oh, what's something, maybe especially somebody of that size and stature, he's going to punch me. you know, or he's going to get mad and yell. And I took it as, well, he can't, I'm at work. And if he does, then I'm going to get a payday. So I ended up standing up.
that shows something else we have in common. That is only the thought of someone who has come from an economically repressed
background. Yes. 100%.
Like, I am going to win the lotto because my boss punched me. That's like, those are the dreams that we would have. Sitting on the bus for you, going like three towns away to school. And I've got like in the back of a Toyota Corolla trying to go to sleep.
Oh my goodness, that's so true. That is so true. Driving around a busted up car. And when I was in high school, me and my best friend Mario, driving around, we didn't have the best cars at all. The fact that we had a car was crazy.
I mean,
but there'd be so many times where a car would almost hit us or would like almost, you know, like rear end us. Yep. And we'd be like, oh, that's a Mercedes. Come on. And then like the couple of times we did get into car accidents, it was like, you know, a car a little newer than ours that didn't have full coverage. We used to joke around. We're like, if a car almost hit us and it was crappy, we'd be like, whoa, you better calm down. Like, that thing does not have full coverage. You better calm down. No
uninsured motorist.
No uninsured. So that's what I learned. I learned that, you know, you can stand up and, you know, it's not going to be as bad, especially if you have like some convictions that you have and someone's pushing you around, you know, stand up for yourself, stand up for your convictions and, you know, it'll work out. Sure.
I mean, if it doesn't, what are you going to do?
I almost fell off my chair.
I mean, it was profound. It was profound. So right. I think that's fair.
Right. But. Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Callan, thank you so very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah. You as well, brother.
Oh, yeah. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. Connect with Callan. There's Callan's. His info is right down there. Connect with him on LinkedIn as well. And yeah, we'll see you all next time. See you. In transmission.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.